costs associated with this. So if we would enhance laws to have this functionality in it, it would probably cost about $50,000 of our software development budget to do that effort. The other thing that we would have to do is look at, to make this useful, the documents need to be searchable. So they would have to be, optical character recognition would have to be ran against the file so to make the text that's in the file searchable. So we'd probably have to get printers in each committee room that would allow this OCR functionality, and that would probably run between $400 and $500. And the appropriation committees would be kind of a question mark too, because we have interns in all the other committees that have time to do this scanning work for us. And by the fact that they actually scan these documents, saves resource time on the library side, where Kyla and whoever's on her staff, when they create the bill histories, part of their work is already done then because the electronic scanning has already been done. So that's what we experienced on these two pilot committees. But in the appropriations committee, we don't have interns. We have Ellen's staff in there. So we would have to figure that out. So basically, I'm providing this information. I don't know if anything you want to add, Senator Scheibel. Any questions, Senator Scheibel?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Yeah, the only thing I'd like to add about that, it's a good program, but you got to have buy-in by the committee members, and there is a bit of a learning curve to get past that. I mean, it's just like any new software or new product you try, you got to learn it. Once you get past that, it's very good and would be very functional and useful. It's just that it takes a little bit of time to get past that and to get people to do it. I mean, scanning everything in was good, but once it's there and you get used to that format, then it would be useful and good. But it's if you get committee members to buy in and being able to take the time to learn exactly how to do all the functions that it can do.
How much would this get used? Who's gonna be accessing this information?
It would just be legislators. If we put it in the links and laws, I mean, eventually down the road, I could see if we had video in the committee rooms where there was testimony was provided, eventually we would expect to probably put the video out there and then have links to the electronic testimony documents kind of tied to the video. If you think of that down the road, that's where it could end up down the road. But initially what we'd be looking at here is just to make it useful for laws, for legislators to access the information. Eventually all this gets brought together by the library staff and goes out on the public website in the bill histories for each bill.
Okay, thoughts? You don't need any action on this at this point in time?
Well, I guess there's kind of a decision here because we did this as a pilot last session. I mean, it's a couple options. We could continue another pilot for this next session if we want to expand the pilot a little bit, or do we go and make the laws enhancements so that way the ease of use is there for the legislators? It's a more, if we were to go forward and do this, that's one thing I would recommend that we do. Enhance laws to make the access to the documents easier. So, but whether or not we would take this to every committee next session, that's kind of the question, or if we would still treat it as a pilot. Now, if we would make it available in laws, it would be for, we would do the scanning on whichever committees that you would authorize, but essentially all legislators would have access to that scanned electronic testimony from laws, not just the ones on the committee.
Thank you, Chairman Carlson. Could you bring forth a proposal for what the cost in the transition plan? I like the idea of it being laws. Think about when you're discussing a bill on the floor to have that actual testimony if you have real wanting references. I think it would be much easier if we did that long term. I don't think we can probably roll it all. I think appropriations would be really hard to do.
That one's going
to
be difficult.
But maybe you should propose to us a transition plan, moving it into laws over the next two or three sessions. Because we've got a little bit of experience, but training us is hard. We're slow learners sometimes. But if you could come back with a proposal, then we would have something to look at. That would be helpful.
Okay.
That's fine with me. Senator Warner?
Well, Mr. Chairman and committee members, I agree with Representative Hogan on that. We need to move forward. You know, when I think about when we started with computers, there was resistance all the way, you know. But we're glad we're there now. And the same thing with this. And it may be a problem for appropriations, but I can see where, for example, in leadership, we can go to that bill and see what's happening. We can't always be in the committee room. And so I think it's a good thing. And if we could, I think what we should do is, you know, in your transition, you move it to laws, and also I think we should add a couple more committees.
I think it would be a quantum leap to think you're going to take every committee at one time over there. Okay. Right. Senator Shively, any of the thoughts as the chairman who did it?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would suggest two things. You did natural resources and education. I would consider doing both of them on both sides so that after crossover you'd have the same information would help.
Yeah, they should be common committees. Otherwise, you've really lost half the story.
Well, you went at.
Well, we only did.
I don't
did.
Think it was education on the House side.
No, we did not.
But yeah, I agree with that. I wouldn't try to do it expanded. I'd guess education would be a good place to continue and do both sides, and then the crossover, the information would already be there per se. So,
Kyle, if you'd bring back to us a expansion to a couple more committees on both sides, and what it would take for the cost of the transition to put it on laws, and then we can make a decision on that next time.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Mock.
Just so that we know, I'd be interested, Kyle, in knowing what the cost would be if we were to implement it in all policy committees right away, and then you know, and then the other. I mean, and then a scale down, just so we see you know, what would the logistics be if we wanted to tool up for all policy committees right away, versus an incremental transition on the policy side.
I could answer that right now, Mr. Chairman, Representative Mock. So the work that we would do in laws application in regard to the software development coding, that would be good for any committee. So once that's coded once, it isn't going to matter. There's a little bit of one-time cost for printers. That's a small cost. We're talking like $500. So whichever committees decide, you might spend $1,000 or a couple thousand dollars there. The people that are actually doing the work is the intern, which we have those hired, and there's 10 of them that sit in the various committees. So they were very happy to do the scanning for us. They were actually very excited about it.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman and Kyle, is the angst with appropriations then that there's not interns there?
Correct.
So if you're going to hire two more interns or something, or however many it takes for those committees, should we be looking at what that cost might be or what it might save?
Yeah, we'll have to look at that and discuss that. I think that would be good so we can figure out how would we actually do this in those committees.
Yeah, we have all the subsections on the House side, so you'd need actually about five more interns to make that work. Of course, some of them you could roll from the little committee to the big committee, but
the other thing that we have to be conscious of, too, is, you know, we'd like to have this testimony fairly, we'd like to receive it electronically from the lobbyist or whoever, and we pushed out an email address where some could submit that electronically, but from what we've seen in other states, some states will require the testimony to be electronic up front, period. And some states also require a witness or whoever's going to testify register ahead of the hearing, or otherwise you can't testify. So that's how some states manage this process and put controls around it. But I didn't see that ever probably being considered here.
Well, I would hate to see everybody just send it in and not show up. Just send an electronic message and say, here's my testimony.
Yeah, that's part of
it. I wouldn't think that's the way we want our process to go.
So, okay.
Well, why don't you look this over and come back with a proposal for us of how we expand into this.
Okay, will do. Another item that I had, and this is more of just an awareness thing, this involves your email. Okay, as you know, you're part of the state email system with the executive branch. Courts are separate. They implemented their own email probably 20-some years ago. They've been separate. But we're part of the state email system, and ITD has initiated a direction or a strategy where they're moving their employees to Microsoft Cloud. So their email is actually going to be in the cloud hosted on Microsoft servers. So, but the rest of the state government currently is still hosted on servers that sit over here in Bismarck, and then they also have servers sitting over in Mandan in the data center in Mandan. So that's called the hybrid approach, where you have some mailboxes in the cloud and some are on premise. Well, ITD's direction is that eventually they would like to move all state email mailboxes into the cloud, which would mean their legislator email boxes would also be stored on Microsoft servers. So they're probably looking at maybe a couple years yet before that would happen. One of the reasons why they're looking at that is Microsoft's cloud services for Microsoft Exchange, which is the email server. Basically, it provides, they're providing additional features like threat protection, and they're also providing anti-phishing features and initiatives within their software, that's the email that's hosted in the cloud. So I bring this up mainly because of the statutes that John referred to earlier, where your email essentially is not public record, and basically the email would be stored out on Microsoft server out in the cloud if ITD would go forth and say what's put every mailbox in the cloud. So it's more of an awareness thing. I know I've talked to John about it, and we kind of need to understand. We have yet to see the contract that ITD signed with Microsoft in this regard. Claire Ness, that's on our staff, when she was with Attorney General, she worked with ITD on contracts, so she has some awareness of this. And so basically what needs to happen is we need to look at that contract, and the legal staff from counsel needs to get a better feel or understanding of what this actually would mean for you as a legislator having your mailbox out on the Microsoft cloud server. So it's just an awareness thing. We don't need any action today. So just an FYI.
Okay. Anything else, Kyle?
That's all I have.
Any questions for Kyle? Thank you very much.
Okay.
The last item on the agenda was for any other business, I believe, John.
Yeah.
And do you have any other administrative matters you wanted to bring up?
Mr. Chairman, I just as a reminder, distribute copies of the 2019 legislative deadlines that were approved by legislative management. Typically, this in the past, this committee has reviewed that and made any other recommendations. Under this proposal, session would begin on a Thursday, January 3rd. There'd be a state address, as last time there'd be no judiciary or formal tribal address in the schedule. The first deadline would be the third legislative day that Monday, as keeping with that practice of having the deadlines on Monday for a bill introduction. So it'll be the third day, the eighth day, and the 13th day would be the three bill draft deadlines. Crossover would fall on Friday, February 22nd, the 37th legislative day. In the past couple sessions, you've coasted into crossover pretty well. Recess would be the 25th and 26th, Monday and Tuesday of last week of February, and you reconvene on Wednesday, February 27th. Under this schedule, you would have your 80th day on April 26th, which would be a Friday. That's also taken into consideration working on Good Friday and Martin Luther King Day and President's Day or George Washington's birthday in February. So this is just for your, again, reminder, because it was reviewed briefly at, I think, the May meeting of legislative management. You adopted this schedule then, and I just want to keep it fresh in your minds in case you're wondering why it wasn't on the agenda like it typically was here.
Yep. No problem with that. Any thoughts, comments? It looks like what we talked about before. Anything else, John, from your perspective?
No, Mr. Chairman. Jim, have we forgotten anything?
Mr. Smith, anything?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as long as we have a little bit of time, I was just going to point out that in November, we completed a inspection with the Bismarck Fire Marshal for the legislative area, and we found that there were no violations. I think it's the second year in a row we had no violations. This was something that was done by OMB for a number of years, and we were out of the loop on it. And once we got involved, probably 2 or 3 years ago, we found several things that we had to fix, including some of the electrical things in the chambers. So just to give you an update, we got a clean bill of health on that, and that's something we do on an annual basis, kind of take it seriously. So just information only.
Anything else? Senator Klein.
Mr. Chairman, and some of the lighting has been changed in the Great Hall. I saw three gentlemen walking down the hall yesterday afternoon, and they were all looking up, and I was just wondering, you know, touched by an angel. And I figured, and I asked them what they were, but they obviously changed the lighting, and that work is done.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think they're going through the entire building and changing to LED lighting. I'm not sure if they've done the chambers yet, but I think the Senate and House chambers will be part of that as well. Obviously, you can see in the hallways it's a lot brighter, but I think it's throughout the tower, throughout the Capitol.
You know, Mr. Chairman, along the lines that Jim had talked about the fire inspection, during legislative orientation session, I think we'll need to do a little better job of informing you as well of emergency evacuation procedures. I know we had one or two, at least one instance last session with fire alarms going off, and so we'll try to do a better job of it, letting you know where you're supposed to evacuate, particularly now with new meeting rooms in the judicial wing as well. So that we'll try to include that as part of your training.
Okay. Anything else? Will we go to the order? Not a move for a motion to adjourn. Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Adjourned.
Oh, some vouchers.